You're listening to The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds.
I'm Marcy Silman. When Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield released a version of David Bowie's Space Oddity earlier this year, he became a YouTube sensation. That video, recorded from the International Space Station, has had more than 18 million views. Hadfield has embraced social media to convey the realities of life in space. Our colleague Steve Scherer talked to Chris Hadfield.
You can push gently off the wall and fly. Maybe the best part of spaceflight is being able to fly perpetually the whole time that you're in orbit.
Chris Hadfield spent 5 months weightless as the commander of the International Space Station in 2012 and 2013. Chris Hadfield has a number of firsts. He's the first Canadian to command the space station, the first Canadian to walk in space, also the first Canadian, actually the first person, to record and release a song from outer space.
Jewel in the Night, first recording from space station, really?
So bright, jewel in the night, there in my window below. So bright, dark as the night, with all of our cities aglow. It's long been our way.
Chris Hadfield has traveled into space 3 times. He walked in space 2x. When he became the commander of the International Space Station, he took on social media. He tweeted pictures from space, and he answered questions from the Earthbound about eating a sandwich, about brushing your teeth, about sleeping, or shouting from space.
Hi, Chris Hadfield here aboard the International Space Station. Now, everybody knows in space that no one can hear you scream, because sound can't travel through the vacuum of space. We can have quite a variety of food. There's all sorts of things that we'd normally consume on Earth that we have here in space. You just need some minor adaptations.
Ayla, when we first get to space, we feel sick.
And so if you keep crying, you just end up with a bigger and bigger ball of water in your eye.
Chris Hadfield is an astronaut. An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth is his book. You know, you flew big fighter jets. How does that compare to being propelled into space?
If you're in a good car, you know, a good high-performance sports car, and you corner and it's got really good tires, you get flung to the outside of your car. You know, I think the really good cars can get almost 1G, you know, one extra force of gravity pushing you to the side, that big weight. Or if you're on a ride at the fair and you and the passenger beside you are both getting squished against the side of the little spinning, you know, Mad Hatter's teacup or whatever you're sitting in that's spinning around. It's sort of like that on a spaceship or in an F-18, except magnified many times, where it's not just the weight of you or the weight of you and the person next to you, but the equivalent weight of maybe 8 of you. In a spaceship, though, you're laying on your back. And so the G-force is more like some enormously fat person lying on you or having poured a ton of sand on top of you, but it doesn't drain the blood out of your head because you're lying on your back. It kind of just pushes the blood to the back of your body. So it doesn't make you black out, but it does make it hard to breathe and hard to see because you can't just pick your head up naturally. And it's really hard to reach up with your hands and throw the switches and control the spaceship when you get that much acceleration on your body. It's as if some great gorilla has been pounding you and squishing you and shaking you, and then in the darkness they grabbed you and threw you off a cliff, and instantly you're flying and falling, and your checklist on your knee floats in front of you unnaturally and inexplicably, and the little washers and bits of dirt that they didn't quite vacuum up on the floor of the shuttle come drifting up next to you, and then it stays that way. You are in that strange, and it's sort of a magical feeling where you can tumble and you can fly.
Do you lose a sense of up and down at some point?
If you close your eyes, you have no way to know which way is up and down. You and I sitting here right now, close your eyes, and you got all sorts of things telling you which way is up and down. The pressure on your rear end from your chair, the bottoms of your feet, how your arms are weighed down, and of course your inner ear sensors. You don't need your eyes to tell you which way is up and down on Earth. In weightlessness, the only thing that tells you up and down is your eyes, because everything else is just perpetually falling in free fall, as if you were perfectly weightless. So yeah, you lose your sense completely, and you become completely reliant on what your vision tells you. So you come around the corner in a spaceship, and it's a bunch of modules bolted together, maybe like scuba diving in a really complex collection of corridors and submarines. And so you come around a corner, and everyone is standing on the wall. Or some people are standing on the ceiling and some are standing on the wall, or at least they're oriented that way. And at first, it's quite unnatural and disorienting to you. But after a while, you just get used to it. You come around the corner and you go floating by someone upside down, and it just doesn't matter. If you really want to talk to someone, you'll always line yourself up so that your eyeballs are in the same orientation so you can see the expression on their face. But while you're talking to someone, someone else may float through upside down, and you just that becomes normal.
All right, so why Space Oddity? You could have done other songs about space. Was there something in particular about that song that captivated you?
While I was in space, I did my best to use every means I could to show people what it's like. And social media is a terrific tool for that. So we got permission from Bowie. He liked the audio track. One Saturday afternoon, I went around with the camera and filmed myself singing the song all over the spaceship. It had a huge impact. I think it's because it took kind of an iconic artistic understanding of what space was like and what it meant to us culturally and made it real. This was an actual human expression of what spaceflight is shown in the place where it's actually happening. And that juxtaposition that suddenly snapped into reality becomes somewhat mesmerizing for a lot of people to watch. And I think that's maybe why it's been so popular. And I'm delighted if people can see that the space station is more than just the fabulous laboratory that it is, but also kind of an extension, a different stage, a platform to be able to take what is our cultural and our art and think about it and extend it a little bit further, as well as a way to look back at the world and see our own planet and put all that together culturally, then the station is starting to fulfill all of its purposes in our first steps away from home.
You can see that video on YouTube. Chris Hadfield also still is on Twitter, and you can follow him on Twitter. And he's written An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, What Going to Space Taught Me About Ingenuity, Determination, and Being Prepared for Anything. Chris Hadfield, I appreciate you taking the time.
It's my pleasure. Nice to talk with you, Steve.
Nice to talk with you.
Astronaut Chris Hadfield's version of the David Bowie song. Chris Hadfield's appearance at Town Hall Seattle is sold out, but you might head down there tonight. There might be some tickets available at the door.